Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. I have a VIP guest here today. She's laughing at me already. That's not a good sign. Abby Ferry from the Ferry Group. And so, Abby, it looks like you have, according to your website, which everybody can go to, what, theferrygroup.co.
Correct.
.co.
C-O.
Okay. Yes. President of the Ferry Group, 15 years of experience in the field of safety and health. So what drives you as a safety professional? Why safety?
Why safety? Honestly, I got into safety because I wanted to wear jeans and be outside every day. So I very specifically got into construction safety to fulfill that and then just ended up really liking safety. It's an awesome career. The cliche is that it's, you know, about the people and making sure they go home safely, but that's it. That's why.
I can live with that. Absolutely. It was either that or park ranger then, I guess. It was.
Honestly, yes.
Outside all the time?
I considered that. Okay. Yes.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow. I was joking and I nailed it. So Abby, we are here podcasting from the VPPPA National Safety Symposium in New Orleans. And you got to speak.
Yes.
You got to present. You get to talk to a lot of groups. Where do you hail from? Where's home for you?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. I like how you said that.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Kind of, yes. I think it is.
Okay. So you speak on different safety topics to different groups. And one that we were talking about just before we hit record, that is, a lot of us, myself included, don't really think about too often. But it's critical. It's very important. And that is PPE fit for female workers. So we get form, fit, and function. We get that OSHA actually says it has to be reasonably comfortable, but it has to fit. It has to achieve its intended purpose. But there is this whole side of PPE, a whole workforce demographic that you go and buy typical PPE, and by and large, it's probably not doing its job.
Nope.
So educate my listeners and myself on this whole topic.
So an interesting thing that I learned that I just kind of assumed, and maybe you did too, is that fit is contemplated in the OSHA standards, and it only is in general industry. So the general industry standard does talk about fit, but the construction industry standard does not. So technically, all the employer really has to do is provide the PPE.
Here's a pair of safety glasses.
Yes.
Have fun.
Yeah. And so what we've found as I've discussed this topic with more and more people is that often women are going out and buying their own gear because the employer, and you know, it's what an employer can do. They provide the PPE, and if you want something specialized, like, you can go get it, and that's fine as long as it meets the regulations.
And I have found, even from personal experience, it's largely driven by cost.
Yes.
I have to provide safety glasses. And I can get them down to $1.13 a piece if I buy 1,500 of these things. And it's one size fits all, literally.
Yes. Right? And that's funny you mentioned that, because I used to almost pride myself on how cheap can I get safety glasses and
We've
that
all
they're
been
still
there.
Okay. Yeah. So I think, like,
because we're showing management, like, look. Right. I'm being, you know, financially responsible.
Yes. And I think $1.75 a piece was the lowest I could get, but I wasn't ordering 1,500. But there's a company that I used to do some consulting for where they manufacture safety equipment, and their stuff is really nice. It's Ergodyne. So
I love Ergodyne.
Yes. Everyone loves it. They have a cool
vibe. I love their
gloves. Yes.
Yes.
And so, but the price points, for me, as someone that used to pride myself on getting things really cheap, I look at them like, no one's going to pay for that.
Right.
But people do.
Yes.
Because
you get what you pay for.
You do. And it lasts longer. And when it's cool, the workers actually want to take care of it and make it last.
So you have found a manufacturer that has some equipment that is a good fit for this demographic we're talking about.
Yes, actually, well, Ergodyne is actually a good example of that, that they have a women's line
of
safety glasses and some other items too that are geared towards women.
And footwear was, I think, the earliest thing I can think of that made sense now that we're talking about the safety footwear.
Yep.
There's women's footwear and there's men's footwear, but we're talking, when you talk about gloves, safety glasses, vests, and I mean, just all kinds of stuff come to mind.
Yeah. Footwear is still a challenge. There's women that are very small, petite, and they have very small feet. Yeah. And honestly, as a large footed person, I didn't realize
large
that.
Large footed person?
Yes. I didn't realize that.
That is not in your bio.
No. Now I'll add it. I didn't realize that women's sizes even went smaller than size 5. And
yes.
Then I hear about women looking for size 2, 3, 4, and you can't find that in standard workwear as far as shoes and boots. So that's been a tough market. And, you know, when they do find it, it costs twice as much as what my boots cost that I can go to the store and try them on and know that they fit. And these poor women, they're having to, you know, pay double and it might not even fit by the time it gets shipped to their house. And, you know, then they're 2 weeks behind starting work because they needed the right apparel.
Yeah.
And it's just,
it snowballs.
It's tough.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I never. As you're talking now, it's dawning on me. I'm going to out myself here. I never gave much thought to the whole price point piece because, you know, it's volume, right?
Right.
It's manufacturing. I mean, I've worked in manufacturing for years. So, I mean, it makes total sense. Fewer people of this size, you know, we make fewer units. So the price could be a problem.
Right. Or is it fewer? Because an issue is that the demand hasn't been there because especially with things like vests or harnesses or even gloves, people just make do with what they're given. And so often these manufacturers aren't even finding out that there's a true demand because the communication isn't making it to those levels because people are just making do. And one example of that is FR coveralls that women, you know, especially if you're curvier, your boss is going to throw you like a men's triple XL and say, here, oh, by the way, this person is actually 5'2". So this is going to look completely silly.
We're rolling up the legs and the sleeves. We're creating cuffs, which, you know, now we're turning it inside out.
Exactly. Which you can't do.
Correct.
Yeah. You can't make these modifications. So they're just doing the best they can with what they've been given. Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
Yep. It is.
So when can we see the fairy line of clothing, right? This is where
seriously
that would
that,
be great.
Yeah, I haven't really spoken it into the world, but man, that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
So, yeah.
So what can employers do to make sure that, you know, not just that we're providing PPE, appropriate PPE, but let's address this specifically. Mm-hmm. What have you been able to help employers along those lines?
Well, the awareness helps that they're just made aware that, listen, size large and XL in everything isn't a one size fits all. It's not going to work, especially gloves. You know, if you actually are trying to protect the workers, you might want these things to fit properly. So being able to provide options to the workers that not everyone's going to be in the same style or size, but that they're going to be protected because there's so many products out there, right? Like it's just a matter of providing those options to the workers for them to try them on, touch, feel, make sure that these things are going to meet their needs. So the options and then just being proactive too, because sometimes you will have to order things far in advance to make sure that the workers you have on site are going to be protected when you need them to be protected.
And bracing for a slight cost adjustment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to happen.
And I think as more companies demand the range of sizes and aren't doing this one size fits nobody approach, that maybe that can help with costs because then distributors are going to understand, well, we should keep more of these sizes.
They'll
in
respond.
Stock. Yeah. I would hope so.
Market wins.
I hope so. I mean, that's.
Well, we know that, right?
Yeah.
We know the market wins. If the market says this is what we want, luckily in this country, in this capitalist system that we have, somebody will respond. Somebody will say, I can make a product for that.
Yes.
So that's good. So we need to speak up more. More employers need to demand various sizes. So that's good.
Yeah.
It's got to be able to feed into, and I'm just thinking back in various cases of, you know, like hand injuries that I've dealt with in the past where somebody was like, why weren't you wearing your gloves? Well, they weren't the right size, right. They weren't the right fit, or I went to go get more and we didn't have it. It's like, and it's just easier for me to take them off.
Right.
And it's like, great, now we have a recordable.
Yes.
Minor, albeit, but a recordable nonetheless. And we're all about trying to drive down incidents, injuries, you know, recordable rates and all that good stuff. Having the right glove to begin with could have helped.
Right. And when you talk to safety professionals, of course, we talk about the hierarchy of controls. And so this whole discussion on PPE is often frowned on because
it's
people are saying,
line of defense.
Yeah. What about your engineering controls? What about your work practice controls? And, you know, yeah, we should be considering that. But, you know, at most work sites, there is a uniform of standard PPE that we need to wear. So it is still a concern. And, you know, it's important to look the part. There's a psychological aspect to this too, that if you're wearing PPE that doesn't fit properly, that you might look like you don't know what you're doing, and that's not true, and people may judge you, and it can lead to all these other things on a work site as well. Or just psychologically, the individual feeling like they're not capable or that they're not putting out their best foot or best foot forward type of things. So it is important.
Yeah.
You know,
we just treat them like professionals.
Yeah.
The professionals they are, right?
Yep, exactly.
Let's equip them with what they need.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the funny thing about engineering control, especially in construction, that I learned is, you know, I still haven't figured out how to engineer out splinters.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, we're talking about construction there. Not that it's acceptable, but the hierarchy of controls, the myth is that we want to avoid PPE. And it's like, well, no, we actually want multiple layers.
Right.
Yeah, you got to remove as much as possible, you know, nails and things like that from lumber as you're doing some demo or work. But bottom line is you're still going to need gloves.
Right.
We're still dealing with raw materials and construction materials.
Right.
It's going to get rough.
When I do worker training and talk about the hierarchy of controls concept, I relate it to food because I like food. And so I tell the workers that the hierarchy of controls is a buffet, not a menu. Right. You don't have to pick just one. Like, you can have something from every course or from every bucket if you want.
Yeah, you got to mix and match. And, you know, let's face it, sometimes PPE is going to be the thing you have to buy.
Right.
You have to use.
Right.
So good points. What else can our listeners learn about this topic that we haven't covered already? We've talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think advocating for your workforce, and because there's a large sponsor of a lot of safety events that I learned that some uniforms and gear that only the men's sizes can be rented, but the women's sizes need to be purchased.
Really?
Yeah. So
is it because of the economy thing again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so it creates issues and having to purchase multiple sets of these garments. And so there's companies that have actually brought this issue to more, you know, higher up people at the organization and have been able to get the women's sizes on rental.
So when you say advocate, you know, basically say, no, we aren't going to purchase those. We're going to rent those like we do the others.
Yep. And challenge it.
Let the market, that's the market speaking. So
exactly.
we need to be a little more upfront with that then.
Right. Good. Challenge it and then tell your friends, you know, like, hey, yeah, I was able to ask them, you know, to bring these prices down. If they're comparable to the other sizes, you know, you can do the same. And then if they hear from more and more people, that's really, you know, it is the market thing. It really is. So just
call Uniforms R Us or whatever. If there's an actual Uniforms R Us, I apologize. I'm trying to make up a company name that doesn't actually exist, but I think you get my point.
Yes.
Contact your uniform provider and say, no, you know, we expect you to get more sizes and different sizes. So Ergodyne, you're a fan of Ergodyne.
Big time.
Is it because they recognize this, or is it because just that's their business model? They make specialized equipment for different sizes. It's a little more anatomically fitting. That's their whole thing.
Yeah. And also, it's just cool. And I think that a lot of times...
It is actually cool.
Yeah. Like, safety equipment is looked at as very dorky, but it's a necessity. But I think with, you know, I hate to use the term, but like millennials, you know, people under 40 at your workplace. Yeah, like they're realizing or they're pushing that we don't want to look that much different from our regular clothes that we would wear on the weekend. Like, we can look cool at work, you know, and still be protected and safe. So I like hearing about companies that, especially in the women's apparel space for workwear, that it's not like bulky, you know, very tough guy, rugged looking stuff, but it's like, there's slim pants and there's cool boots now. Like, there's some different options out there. So I like when companies are disrupting.
I feel bad now because, well, I mean, I don't know if people have noticed, I'm a guy. I mean, I you know, I'm not, all kidding aside, I don't shop for, I've never had to shop personally for women's PPE specifically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've shopped for women's clothes. I've got, you know, the wife and a daughter. I mean, I've gone shopping at least. I've seen how they do it. I hold the purse and sit on the couch. I didn't realize that most of them end up having to wear men's garments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I'm thinking about harnesses. Just anatomy. Guys, yes. Come on, seriously. Just anatomically, I can't imagine women having to wear a full body harness fall protection in some cases.
Yep. And so there's companies that have come out with what they say is a women's harness because it crosses in the front, but that's actually not comfortable for all women.
An X?
Yeah.
Yeah. That I could see several ways that could not be
right.
comfortable.
But they gear it towards women and they think, okay, we're good. We did that market. And it's like, well, no, you know, it doesn't have to look that much different from the men's harness, but there's different ways that we can go about this. But then it's a universal fit guideline too, or that a harness that might be geared towards women because it takes more of the weight off of your lower back, that's good for men too.
Right.
So, you know, we're not looking for, we need women's only harnesses. It's like, just give more options, and it benefits the men too. I mean, who doesn't want to have less weight on their lower back when they're having to wear that harness all day? I mean, that's for everybody.
All right. So my engineer friends, I know you're out there and I can name a few. I know you're out there. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to design for women, right? So in a design, start with good design.
Yes.
Design for women in the workplace. It makes total sense.
But involve women in those design processes, because otherwise what has happened is that a women's harness is one that is pink or purple or teal.
Okay. So when I say design, I don't mean color.
Right.
And accessories. Mm-hmm. I mean actual design for the human body.
Yeah.
Right. So women engineers can play a role.
Definitely.
And male engineers, know your target audience, know who you're designing for.
Use focus groups.
Focus groups. Yeah, we can do this. We could solve this problem.
Definitely.
This shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that we're still talking about it, actually.
Well, yesterday in my breakout session, one of the guys brought up a great point that when women aren't in these leadership roles in safety or just aren't brought to the table, you're losing a perspective. You don't know what you don't know.
That represents, by and large, 50% of the workplace.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And then the thought process would just end up taking longer because you didn't involve the voices at the table.
Well, you have to go back and redo a lot of stuff. Exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah. Abby, an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
To talk with you. You've given me a lot to consider. And I know a lot of our listeners can now go out and have a different lens to look through now, which is good. Which is a good thing. So the fairy group, I knew I would forget
Well, it's okay. The fairy group
the fairy group .co.
.co.
I almost said .com. .co. I will have a link in the show notes. What else are you up to these days?
So not to totally confuse everybody, but I am going back to the world of safety consulting with a company called Mergent. So that's really exciting to me to be able to go back to my home industry of working with safety consultants and helping people do better on their projects and sites.
A recovering consultant myself. we're kindred spirits in that regard. So we know that that's good work. A lot of organizations and companies rely on good consultants to help coach and mentor. And that's a great role that, you know, we need more good consultants in industry. And I'll have a link to that website as well.
Perfect.
And again, an absolute pleasure. Everybody go check out the fairygroup.co and Mergent to learn more about Abby. And again, from the VPPPA 2019 National Safety Symposium, Abby, a great podcast episode. I'm glad that you were able to sit down and talk with me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.